You may be seated. And friends, please join with me in a spirit of prayer. Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, oh God, our rock, our redeemer, and the spirit that lives inside us. Amen. So one of my favorite ways to start off a sermon is by taking a poll. I love taking polls. So the poll I'm looking to take this morning is this question. How many of you would love it, so you would love this, if your spouse or friend or someone significant planned for you a surprise party? How many would love if someone else planned a surprise party for you? All right, we have some people love a surprise party. I'm assuming all the rest of you do not or are indifferent and don't like walking into an unexpected situation and having to act surprised or whatever. And then my next question, this is something that I really relate to. How many of you, if you knew about a surprise party for someone else, would accidentally blab that to the person you're not supposed to? Anyone else? I need some honesty. Okay. We have people pointing to each other. I don't know how I feel about that, but this was mostly a self-identified poll, but we have others that are identifying other people. Okay. Well, I am right there with you. So I am the worst person to tell a fun surprise to because I can't keep it in. Like I share about it. I get really excited and I just want to talk about it. So don't ask, if you don't want a show spoiled for you, don't ask me about it because I will tell you everything about the show, what I think about all the main characters, and I will forget that you haven't even watched it yet. But so don't ask me about a show. Don't ask me about concerts and events. Like I went to Taylor Swift a couple weeks ago. I knew her whole set list. Like I knew all of her outfits. I knew the lighting. I knew everything about the show before I actually went to the show. And so other Swifties didn't want me around because I would tell them things and accidentally spoiled some things for other people. It was sad. But I just get really, really excited about things. So I'm that person that spoils things. But why I wanted to start off talking about surprises is because I imagine that for the disciples in that room, it felt like this grand surprise that they weren't expecting that day. No one could have predicted that God would work in the way that God did on that Pentecost day. You see, our God is full of surprises, and God can't keep the surprises contained either. So maybe it's a great comfort to me that I am a blabber, because our God is full of surprises and always sharing those surprises too. So that gives me great hope that I'm not in the wrong for sharing surprises. But just don't tell me anything if you want to be surprised. So in our Pentecost reading today, there was an amazing surprise. The people present in Jerusalem that day did not get a concert surprise or a surprise in a show they were binging, but they got something even grander. They received the surprise of the Holy Spirit. You see, when I was growing up, the Holy Spirit, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, the Holy Spirit was often, I grew up in the church, went to youth group and all this stuff, but in my tradition growing up, the Holy Spirit was always this mystery person of the Trinity. It wasn't really talked about in church, and I never really knew what the Holy Spirit was. Some people called it a ghost. That made me afraid. So I didn't really know what the role of the Holy Spirit was. I was thinking about this week. When was the first time I heard like spirit language? And I thought back to this time when my sister was a cheerleader. So she did cheerleading in elementary school, and it was this peewee football team. They weren't really good, but they had these elementary school cheerleaders who dressed up in their cute outfits and cheered these great cheers. My sister and her friend were very invested in this, getting the cheers right. And I remember, I was in middle school, she was in elementary school, and I remember very vividly hearing them screaming, practicing these cheers like every day. So I remember this cheer, and it was about the Spirit, and this was my first time I heard anything about the Spirit. So I'm going to reenact this. So the cheer would go, like, they would take their pom-poms, and they would go, we've got the spirit. And they would do this weird thing with their hands, and they would go, S-P-I-R-I-T, spirit. Let's hear it. And they would do that. They do that with their pom-poms over and over again, screaming, we've got the spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, spirit. And so that was kind of my first introduction to anything like spirit language. I didn't know what the spirit was doing. This football team wasn't winning, so clearly, I don't know, they really didn't have the spirit, but the cheerleaders believed so, these little elementary school cheerleaders believed so much in this little team that wasn't winning, and they still had the spirit inside of them. So that taught me a little bit about the spirit, I guess. It's something that's in this football team. It's giving us life. So my sister's cheerleading team did a better job explaining the spirit than my church experience. But I think that's, as a whole, the church has something the church has struggled about, explaining what the spirit is and what her role is. So this sermon, I don't have a lot of time. Like, I mean, you could give me a whole day to unpack the theology of the Holy Spirit, but we have things to do and barbecues to tend to. So I'll be brief, but my sermon today seeks to unpack what the Spirit's role is. And what I see in this passage, I see an explanation that the Spirit is now on all people, and its role is to comfort, to bless, and empower the world. To comfort and bless and empower the world. I see the Holy Spirit as a comforter in this passage because I remember the context. The disciples are alone, they are scared, they are unsure about what the next steps forward are going to be. And then right at that moment, right in their fear, God breaks in and powerfully meets them with the Spirit's presence. See, the word comfort often invokes the thought of a cheering up, right? A sad person, a cheering up of a sad person. But the much wider use of this word comforter in Scripture is at the heart of the Latin word is fort. See, the word comfort comes from the Latin word meaning fortress and strong, fortitude. See, that's the Holy Spirit's power. It's this protection that we can't get anywhere else. It's this strength, this shield. That's the kind of comfort that the Spirit provided. So through the Holy Spirit, we are given protection, a fortress against all enemies, attacks, a fortress of hope that God is sheltering us with. The Holy Spirit also was given by God to bless others, to bless communities. And we see an example of that blessing right here in Acts chapter 2. If you remember, it's a major holiday in Jerusalem, so there's all of these people traveling from all of these other lands far and wide. So there are a lot of different languages being spoken at this festival. And because of what's happening here, the Spirit descends, there's these tongues of fire, all of these crazy things going on. And the next thing that we are told is that the Spirit makes it possible for everyone to understand each other, even though they're speaking different languages. That must have been crazy, right? I don't know. I can't even imagine that. Like hearing a language that I've never spoken before and being able to understand what people are saying. That's wild. I am not good at foreign languages and studying foreign languages. My brain does not work like that. I'm skilled in other things, but that is not one of the areas that I am skilled with. I cried my way through Greek and Hebrew in seminary, but I got through it. But languages are not my thing. I still have flashbacks to, you know, all of the days in high school when Spanish class was my lowest grade in high school, so I still have PTSD when I hear other languages. But I'm amazed that this crowd was able, that the Spirit's work here was able for people to understand each other. People were able to communicate with each other. And that perplexed the crowd so much, they thought people were drunk. And Peter reminds us that it's only 9 in the morning. This is not drunkenness. This is the Spirit's power. This is the Spirit living inside of all of us, uniting us and blessing the world together. What God is doing here is something bigger than the crowd can imagine. God is giving us a glimpse of the blessings that the Spirit can bring. The Spirit reveals God in new ways through visions, prophecy, and dreams. I believe that based on this passage, we can connect, that the Spirit connects with each of us in different ways. Like, yes, we might not be speaking another language and someone understanding that, but the Spirit might be meeting us through a gentle whisper, a gentle nudge, speaking to us in all different ways, through a dream, through other ways. God meets us right where we are, not quite how we will expect God to work at some points, but I think that's what the beauty of the church is that all of these different gifts that God gives us through the Spirit, they all come together here in this community, and we bless others, and we bless the world through the gifts that God has given all of us. You see, the Spirit empowers us to do the holy work of God. The Spirit can show up in grand ways, right? In our passage, tongues of fire coming down. I don't know. I've never seen that. Have you? That sounds really interesting. But often I think the Spirit shows up in little ways too, like a gentle whisper, like a friend, the embrace of a friend, a note that we get in the mail. I think I've seen little ways that the Spirit has woven its way into my life and created these threads that has brought me right here, right now. And I didn't know it at the time, but God was placing different people in my life to point me into this direction when I thought all hope was lost with ministry, but it turns out it wasn't. It turned out to be this invisible string that God was using to connect me to the place where I was meant to be. And I'm wondering, maybe God has worked that way in your life through the Holy Spirit. Maybe we can point to little moments that didn't seem like significant at the time, but when we look back, we can see that that little moment changed the whole course of our life and who we are. So a gentle whisper, though, can be easily missed if we're not careful. Life gets so busy, and we can often miss the beauty of the Spirit. The distractions of this life seem endless, right? There's so many things that are competing with our attention. And I'm guilty of spending way too much time on my phone. You know, you get that little report. I think it happens every Sunday. You get that little report of your screen time. And I often find myself feeling so guilty of looking at, you know, that little number. Well, it's a big number, but that hour, that number that calculates the hours. And I think about, what did I miss in those hours when I was so glued to the phone? What did I miss around me? What things were happening? Maybe God was working and I didn't even see. And often I think about that a lot, how much we miss when we're not paying attention, when we're paying more attention to what's going on a screen than what's happening right in front of us. So maybe a challenge this week might be to set aside time free from distraction and just practice being present with God and listening for that gentle whisper. You see, I think we think of prayer so much as talking, but I think a lot of prayer is listening. And maybe God wants to tell us something. Maybe an idea might be to start a journal of the places throughout the day where you have seen God working clearly in your life and writing that down so that you can go back and on a hard day, you can go back and look at that journal and remind yourself that there is still hope. There is still goodness. Yes, today was a bad day, but the greater picture is God is still here and God is still moving. I needed that journal, when the news cycle got really, still really dark, and I need to look at that journal often to remind myself of the blessings that God is still doing around me. You see, that same Spirit that hovered over the waters before creation in the book of Genesis, that same Spirit is living inside each one of you and me. The Spirit leads us to Jesus in our times of doubt. The Spirit shows us God and reminds us that darkness will never win. When we feel lost, the Spirit is there to guide us time after time. When we don't even know the words to say in prayer, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit uses our groans, uses whatever we can muster as a prayer to God. I think that's so powerful. The Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know even the words to say to our God. The Holy Spirit is that personal presence of God that will never leave us. Think about that friend that will never leave you ever, ever, ever. And that's God. That's the Spirit's power that lives in us. This is how the Spirit works. It shows up surprises us and does amazing things that we will never, that we can never even think of. So as my sister's cheer team said, we do have the Spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T, Spirit. So let's hear it. The Spirit lives in this congregation, in this building. I was with a group of people last week discerning what the Spirit's next step for us as a church is to serve our community. The Spirit is alive in this place, and I see it daily. Sometimes I have to take a step back and look at what the Spirit is doing all around us. The Spirit is moving in how you sing. The Spirit is moving in how we give collections and donations to other people in need. The Spirit is moving in how we pray for each other in our deepest times of need. The Spirit is alive in this place. And so our job is now not to contain the Spirit just in these four walls. Our job is to go out and give that Spirit away to all, so that all would know that the joy and love of this Spirit that's in this room right now can be free. The doors are open. The windows are open. The Spirit moves. And so it moves inside each one of you. So go out and change the world through the S-P-I-R-I-T Spirit. Let's hear it. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn today is titled Holy Spirit, Ever Dwelling. You will find that as a yellow insert in your bulletin. If, and as always, if you're joining online, those words will be dropping in the comments down below.